Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back and just connected with you through this virtual connection. The Lord is so good. Anybody know that? If so, just say amen. Lift up those hands. Put some emoticons in the chat. Just giving him praise. There are a few things that I definitely want you to be in prayer with me and the church family about. We had one of our loved ones to pass away, and that is Minister Alfred Booker. Minister Alfred Booker. And I just pray for his wife. I think she said they were married 64 years, a long time, and the entire family, his son and daughter in love, and just all of those that are connected to that family. No arrangements have been made as of yet, but continue to check our website for all arrangements and information. Please continue to pray for Mae Hardy's family and Pauline Mack's family, some of our members that are just going through. But we know that God is faithful. Speaking of prayer, this coming Thursday at 6:30, we're going to have back to school prayer where we're going to pray over our kids. And if you can be there, we'd love to have you bring those grandkids, those babies, nieces and nephews so that we can pray for them. And then afterwards, we've got some back to school supplies that we're going to be sowing into their lives, encouraging them. Teachers, staff, all are welcome in the sanctuary at 6:30. Thank you so much for being living epistles as we walk before the Lord and we truly become examples of Christ in this world to point them to Jesus, who is the only one who can save. Thank you for staying connected to our Monday night manas at 7 o'clock, where we have different teachings just encouraging us. We need that encouragement in this day and time. Our Tuesday noonday on our virtual connection, where we're going through the book of Genesis. Our Wednesday virtual connection at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Luke, the teachings of Christ. And then on Thursdays, our in-person Bible study. So this Thursday at 6 o'clock to 6:30, we're going to have a brief Bible study out of 1 Corinthians. Then we're going to go into back to school prayer. And then we're going to have those giveaway times right after prayer. So we thank you. Thank you for your encouragement with that. Please stay in prayer for our 8:45 and our 10:45 services, in-person service. And of course, our 10 o'clock online. Finally, thank you for your giving. Your giving allows us to do a lot of things, like bless our children as they're going back into school. We also have the ability we've had in past years to give out scholarships to encourage our kids as they are going through their time of matriculation. So thank you. Thank you for really embracing what the scriptures say that we give out of a heart of cheerfulness. We purpose in our heart and we don't give out of grudgingly or necessity, but we want to make sure we're thankful to the Lord because He has been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful provider. So thank you, whether you're using our app or sending into our secure mailbox or in our in-person service. Again, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm thinking about the word today and that we've got to be 100% connected to the Lord as we walk out His call within our lives. So let's just take a time of reflection as we're thinking about Him, and we'll see you soon.
Our scripture this morning is going to come from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 28. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned of Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. But ye, Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and understanding of his holy word this morning.
Walking in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shines? Walking in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shines? The Lord has been good to me. He brought me from a mighty long way. He gave me food and shelter as I go on my way. I put my hand in the Master's hand, never ever go astray. I'm trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shines? Trusting in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful how the light shines? The Lord has blessed my family. He let us see another day. He gave us food and shelter as we go on our way. I thank him 'cause he clothed and kept me. I thank him 'cause he gave me strength. I'm grateful just walking in the light. Joy in the light, that beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? Well, how the light shines. There's joy in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? Ain't it marvelous? Ain't it beautiful? Ain't it glorious? I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the light. Ain't it marvelous? Ain't it glorious? I know that Jesus is the light. Well, Jesus is the light. Ain't it marvelous? Ain't it glorious? Ain't it beautiful? Ain't it wonderful? Are you walking in the light? Come on, y'all. Let's walk in the light. It's a beautiful light. a marvelous light. Ain't it wonderful? Ain't it glorious? Ain't it marvelous? How the light shines.
It's so good to trust in Jesus. Well, I'm excited just to get back into fulfilling our calling as we think about how God is working in our lives. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for your immense grace and mercy, for allowing us to be here today, Father. In spite of our troubles, in spite of our struggles, Father, you have been good. I pray for those who are viewing and listening now, Lord, that if they don't know you, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised him from the dead and you said they would be saved. We thank you for that wonderful grace, Lord, in their lives. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get back into our memory scripture, and I pray that you have really been concentrating on that, at least as we come together each Sunday, we read it aloud. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19, and I want us to read it together. Let's read. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That's powerful to think about, that we really, as we give ourselves to him, and I'm going to talk about that a little later, God takes over, and that's why we have the gift of his Holy Spirit. Well, let's jump into our focus scripture for the day, 2 Kings chapter 2, and around that ninth verse. 2 Kings chapter 2, and around that ninth verse, it reads, "And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Wow, isn't that heavy? I want to speak from a title today, Sold Out. Yes, sold out. Hezekiah Walker, popular gospel singer, he sang these lyrics that have blessed so many. He says, "My heart is fixed and my mind is made up. No room, no vacancies. I'm all filled up. His spirit lives in me, and that's the reason I'm sold out." That is the definition that we are dealing with today, selling out ourselves, giving ourselves completely and totally to the Lord. In order to walk in that, all that God wants us to walk in, we do have to have that mentality that we are no longer ourselves, of ourselves, in a sense, as we were talking about that memory scripture. I think Romans 12:1 kind of sums it up. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," look at this, "a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." That's where we are sliding into the text today. The time frame is about 853 BC, and we have two main characters. We have Elijah and Elisha. Elisha is going to be the prominent figure that rises within the text today. Elisha has actually been the servant to Elijah for about 10 years. He's been very faithful. As you know, Elijah is a prophet. Elisha is stepping up into that prophetic ministry, and they have really, truly grown close. This is a time in Israel where there is bad king after bad king after bad king after bad king. I think it's about 19 bad kings in succession as you look through the history of 2 Kings and other books. But God brings light through these prophets that actually walk in miracle power. They show love and they speak truth to the king. Let's jump into this section, 2 Kings 2 and 1. "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." 2 Kings 2:2, "Then Elijah said to Elisha, Stay here, please, for the Lord sent me on to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I'm telling you, I just want you to think about that. He is serious about holding on to Elisha. So they went down to Bethel. Here's our first point. Focus. Yes, focus. Now, walking to this point, again, Elisha had been with Elijah about 10 years, and it's coming to the end of Elijah's ministry. Those can get mixed up, those names, but Elijah is about ready to go be with God in a miraculous way that we're going to get to that point. And so Elisha is like, I got to stay close to Elijah. Now, this focus is used in the term as we have been online and different ministries. We had to learn how to use camera equipment, and focus is so important. You can get a picture, but you've got to tune in on that lens to make sure you have the clarity of the individual or the thing that you're looking at. This is Elisha as he is coming to the point of realizing, you know what? I'm going to be the successor to Elijah. He's taught me over these 10 years, and I've got to focus in and make sure I don't miss anything. Look at this, 2 Kings 2:2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Again, that whole process. So they went down to Bethel. In order to fulfill your calling, you got to know, okay, God, it's about you. And again, I want to hone in. I want to make sure that I am embracing everything that you have for me. And for Elisha, it was Elijah. He was that example. He was that person that really poured into his life. The enemy will do all he can do to get us out of focus. Any amen? Just put amen in the chat. Clap your hands. Yes, he'll do all he can do. Paul the Apostle exhibited what focus is really all about in Philippians 3:12. Listen to this. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. In the chat, can you put press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal. There it is, that focus for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As we're looking at Elisha here, he is pressing. He is focusing in on the fact that God is getting ready to do something amazing. Look at 2 Kings 2:3. We're talking about sold out. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Here's the point. Overcoming the noise. Yes, overcoming the noise. In our lives, as we're walking in the calling that God has for us, there's going to be a lot of noise. We got to focus, but there's going to be a lot of noise that is going on in our lives. The sons of the prophets, they were actually a part of a guild of that time in training, in their prophecies. They hear the voice of the Lord. They were sensitive. They had a discernment. He's like, something big is going to happen. And they go to Elijah and said, don't you know your master is going to be taken away from you? And Elijah's like, yes, I know that. Be quiet. I got to stay focused. In essence, Elisha is saying it like this. Yes, I'm aware that Elijah is leaving. Don't distract me with your curiosity. So many times as you really start to hear the voice of the Lord and hear that still small voice, there will become distraction. The enemy likes to use people to get us off track. Any amens? We talked about this scripture on previous Sundays. It is very important to get the characteristics of the enemy and how he comes at us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. If I got a quick type is on the chat, just say roaring lion. If you could type that wherever you're sitting at or standing, say roaring lion. He does. He makes a lot of noise. We've got to overcome that noise, seeking whom he may devour. Just like dogs, we've got dogs in our community, and sometimes they get all riled up and they start barking. And when they bark, another one will bark. And it's just a lot of noise. And there can be distractions if you can't stay focused through that. That ninth verse, resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Sold out. Elisha is sold out this point to focus on Elijah. Elijah has come to the point of also rising above even of those other prophets that were around, that guild of prophets. He's able to say, hey, I know I've got to stay with Elijah. But the question is that I have for you, what noise are you fighting in your life? Yes, what noise am I fighting in my life? Could it be social media? Man, with our phones, we've got so much that's going on. We've got so much news that's being propagated and put forth in our mind. Could that noise be family issues, or maybe you're dealing with health issues? You've got some bad diagnosis, or you're suffering from migraines or depression. That's noise that we have to overcome to walk in the calling that God has for us. Maybe you've got job issues. You're thinking about, you know, going up to a different position, or maybe you've been demoted, or maybe you feel like your job is going to shut down. Whatever it may be, we see that's noise that we have to overcome, and we've got to be sold out to the movement of the Lord in our lives. Look at 2 Kings 2 and 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay there, here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. And that whole process, again, Elijah says, just stay here. Now, Elisha has to discern, okay, does he really mean this, or am I supposed to push through? Look at this. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. It seems to be a test of a type. I don't even know if Elijah is in on it. I think he's sincere, saying, you know, stay here. The Lord is getting ready to do something. But Elisha has to hear the voice of the Lord for himself. So they came to Jericho, 2 Kings 2:5. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? He's heard this over and over again. So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 2 Kings 2:7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance. This is a critical word here. If you could put it in the chat, distance, wherever you're sitting, standing, just say distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that way, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Here's the point: close to the miracle. Yes, close to the miracle. Now, this is so important as we think about our lives and how God is bringing forth the calling in our lives. Again, we've got to stay focused. We've got to make sure that we're overcoming the noise. God put this on my heart to kind of encompass the points. He said, because Elijah is sold out, he stays focused and overcomes the noise in order to be close to the miracle. Isn't that good? Let me read that again. Because Elijah is sold out, he stays focused and overcomes the noise in order to be close to the miracle. Some of you are so close to your miracle. I tell you, I hope you're feeling it. Some of you have been believing for some things. Some of you are just now really edging over into that calling, and you're so close to really having that peace that goes beyond all understanding. And I want to give you a prophetic word. Don't give up now. We've been going through this series of fulfilling a call, and I'm telling you, we got a lot more to deal with, but I'm telling you, don't give up now. Remember Jacob within the Old Testament scripts. His name was actually changed to Israel, and I just want to bring out a portion of scripture where he really held on. He was close to that miracle and wouldn't let go. In Genesis 32:24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, when you look at that scripture, you see that that man is capitalized. That's what's called a theophany in the Old Testament, which actually was a symbol of Christ. It was kind of Christ showing up before he showed up in the New Testament. And this is so powerful as we see Jacob. He's wrestling with this man, Genesis 32:26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob is wrestling with God. I know it's mind-boggling, but he's close to the miracle. Genesis 32:27. So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Genesis 32:28. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob," but here's the transformation, because he was close to the miracle. He sold out. "But Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Genesis 32:29. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. I'm telling you, when you are close to the miracle, that's where the blessing flows. Elisha is close to Elijah where that miracle is taking place. Genesis 32:30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Yes, it's going to cost you, though, being close to the miracle, but it's all worth it, even in the pain. As long as I can be close to the miracle, as long as I can walk in the calling that God has on my life. No, notice the miracle again in 2 Kings 2:8. Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up, and he struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now, many theologians believe that mantle was a type of vest that would cover it, symbolize the anointing of God, the power of God, the miracles of God. Remember the 50 men that we talked about of the sons of the prophets? They were actually standing at a distance, the scripture said. But Elisha, he is right there at a miracle. We've got to choose. If we're going to walk in the fulfillment of our calling, we got to get close and up front. We've got to say, "God, use me for your services." Some 550 years earlier at this similar spot. This is amazing. The Jordan, Joshua, the leader of Israel, he actually crossed this place on dry land. Joshua 3:14. "So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest." I'm talking about sold out. "That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratim. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho." Joshua 3:17. "Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground." Can you put dry in the chat? Can you just scream out dry? "Dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." Sold out. So this same place, a similar place here in the Jordan, has become a place of miracles and signs and wonders. And God repeats himself again as he's using Elijah with that mantle. And Elisha said, "I'm sold out. I'm staying close. I'm staying close to Elijah." Look at 2 Kings 2:9. "And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, What may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Here's the point. I love this one. Believe big. Can you put that in the chat? I just want you to focus in with me. Believe big. Can you just say it wherever you're sitting or standing? Say, believe big. I think in our lives, as God is fulfilling the calling within us, many times we don't believe big enough. No, we got to reach out in faith and know that all things are possible to those that believe. Look at the 2 Kings 2:9 at the end part. He said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. He could have asked for just a portion, 1/4, but he said, no, I don't want just a portion. I want double. I want more. I want more of this. Would we dare ask God to use us in his service more and more? Theologian Farstead, he actually sums this up. Elisha asked for a double portion of his spirit. The double portion is the right of the firstborn son and may simply mean here that Elijah wanted to be his worthy successor. Elijah said, I want to get this right. I want to stay close to you. I'm sold out. God, use me to step up when you take away my master, my leader, Elijah. In actuality, Elijah would perform 8 recorded miracles, and Elisha performed 16. So we literally see a double portion occurring here. What are you willing to ask God for? Yes, Elisha asked God for a double portion, and literally we see that within his life. Elijah again did 8 miracles and Elisha does 16. Are you willing to ask for a double portion within your life? Matthew 17:20 says it like this. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, do you have mustard seed faith? You will say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you. It's also interesting that Elijah, who goes back across the Jordan, he was here before also. When he went into his ministry, he crossed over at this very same place, and now he's going to end his ministry at the same place. I'm telling you, God is amazing when we think how he works in his mysterious ways. I don't want to forget this 2 Kings 2:10. Look at this. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Another translation of this portion brings this out. It said, if Elijah would have the courage to face Elijah's translation and the spiritual understanding to know the meaning of the older man's going, he would be the successor. What Elijah was saying, it's bigger than me, but if God's will be done in this situation, and God allows you to see me when I'm taken up, then you'll be the one to step up in this powerful prophetic ministry. That's why we've got to be sold out to the calling of God. Let me sum up these final scriptures. We got to dare to believe big. Look at 2 Kings 2:11. Sold out. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. This is so important. I want to stay here just briefly here. God had done this with Enoch in Genesis around that 4th chapter and 24th verse. He took him before he even passed away. I'm telling you, God can do whatever he wants. And now God does it again in 2 Kings 2:12. And Elijah saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in 2 pieces. He's sad at this point that his master has been taken away, but he's happy also that he was able to see this with his own eyes. He stayed close to the miracle. 2 Kings 2:13, he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. I tell you, this is good. Final point, fulfill your call. Yes, fulfill your
call. Now this is so important as we look at this scripture again, the 2 Kings 2:14. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. When Elijah was caught up in that whirlwind, that mantle fell off of him. That vest of a type came off of him. It was on the ground. And so Elijah said, "I'm here. I see it." He picks it up and he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" As he struck the waters, and when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. I'm telling you, won't God do it? A miracle, God. When you're sold out, God will do so many wonderful, amazing things within your life. I thank God for showing us that Elisha was determined to walk in the will of God, but there is a better Elisha. His name is Jesus of the New Testament. You know him. He is the ultimate example of being sold out. At the age of 12, he told his parents, "Didn't you know it's time for me to get about my father's business?" At the age of 30, goes into full-blown ministry. I'm telling you, he is healing the sick and raising the dead. No, Jesus never dried up the Jordan and walked across it, but he also, please understand, he could walk on water. I tell you, that's an amazing God. He was sold out. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane for us, and we found out, it said that as he prayed for us, and he prayed for the will of the Father, that sweat as drops of blood permeated from his pores, but he came to that conclusion, "Father, not my will, but let thy will be done." I'm talking about sold out. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot, beaten as he goes down that Via Dolorosa, carries the cross. Must Jesus bear the cross along and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Jesus goes to Calvary, nails in his hand and nails in his feet. Please understand, Elisha did so many miracles in his life. Elijah did so many miracles, but when Jesus gave up the ghost and cried out, "It was finished," this is the big miracle that occurred. The veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. That signified that we don't just have to cross over the Jordan on dry land, but we could go into the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He drops his head in the locks of his shoulder. They peeled that body off of that cross and put it in a cold grave. But the good news, I'm talking about being sold out. He got up on the third day with all power and all glory for us. For us who would come to the point of submitting our lives completely, 100% to him. What's going to be your choice? There are going to be struggles. The enemy is going to come at you with all that he has. But notice, we talked about this last Sunday. God raises up a standard. You can trust the Lord. What God has for you, it is for you. Will you choose that route? As Elisha gave us the example, staying close to the miracle, overcoming the noise, staying focused. Will you apply those things to your life so that you can fulfill the call that God has for you? If you don't know Christ today, that's your first step, to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. It's not just repeating those exact words, but it's about connecting and saying, God, I need a savior. I'm a sinner. I need your peace that goes beyond all understanding. God, I need you to help me to fulfill the call that you placed in my life. I'm telling you, he will do it. And I encourage you, if you have accepted him today, man, go connect to a local fellowship where you can grow with the saints and you can walk in the calling that God has for you. For the saints who are saved and love the Lord, I encourage you, God wants more from you. Look at this world. Look at the darkness that has come upon the face, not just here in North Carolina, United States, but it is all over the world. People are struggling. But God has placed a jewel in you, a treasure in these earthen vessels. Oh, he wants to fulfill that calling in you. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word today. I thank you, God, for speaking to our lives, that you put a calling on our lives. It's going to be tough sometimes. The enemy is going to hit us. He's going to try to get us distracted. But Lord, help us just to press on. Help us just to trust you. Lord, we thank you that we can stay close to the miracle, stay close to you. Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom. My Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. And I worship you because of who you are. And I worship you because of who you are.
I just want to thank you for sharing in this time with us of communion. Just, you know, whatever situation you're in, maybe you're in a nursing facility or at home or a compromised immune system or on vacation, just thinking about who Jesus is, that we are sold out to him and that he fulfilled his calling in us. Go ahead and get those articles. Maybe you have a cup and a bread from church, or maybe you need to get some bread. We've got some crackers from our house today and a little juice in our glasses that we'll be taking communion with you. And while you're getting those, I'm going to ask Bianca if she would go ahead and pray over the bread and pray over the juice.
Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice you made of dying on the cross for our sins so that we would have a right to eternal life, Lord. Thank you for the spilt blood that today was represented by this juice. And thank you for his body that today is represented by the bread, Lord. That we would remember the wonderful things that you have done for us, Lord, and that we would be eternally grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus has made. We praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bianca and I, we often really, even before we take communion each time, I go, we're good. She kind of looks at me, I look at her, and I think we're good today. You know, we have our tough days, but one thing that we do, we ask for forgiveness and we're sorry. And that's what I encourage you. If there's somebody that you're holding something against, we're not perfect. We fall down, but we get back up. And that's why we plead the blood of Jesus. So I encourage you to release them, send them a text, say, I'm sorry. If you can contact them, give them a hug, an embrace, and let them know, you know what? Jesus is still in charge. Let's go to just a portion of 1 Corinthians 11:23, where Paul the Apostle gets a revelation of the significance of communion. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And this is so important as we take of the bread today and we drink of the cup, that we remember who Christ is. It also talks about that he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner actually brings judgment, each judgment to himself. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner actually is causing problems for himself and even those that are around. So we want to make sure that we get this right, that we release and we forgive. Or we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's what we want. We want to judge ourselves as we're taking this communion today. There's a part that said, for many are weak and sick among you, and some sleep. We don't want that to happen. So we really want to lift up that we recognize this represents his body and blood. Think about Jesus when he goes into that upper room with his disciples. It's that final Passover before the Passion. And as Jesus is there, he lifts up the bread and he breaks it. He said, this represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let's eat together.
think about as we're chewing that bread, when Pastor Meredith Gladney, our former pastor who's with the Lord, said that Jesus' body was crushed in the same manner as we are chewing. And that really was a vivid picture in my mind of what he went through for us, how he was beaten and bruised and bled for us. But he lifted up that goblet and he said, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together." What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. As we think about Christ on that cross, beaten and bruised for us, bleeding for us, I also want you to think about he got up on that third day with all power and glory so that we can be sold out to him. I go back to that beginning scripture of today's lesson when we were preaching Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because he died for us and was resurrected, let us give ourselves away to him and be sold out